Job chapter number 4, verse number 12. The Bible says, "Now a thing secretly brought to me, and mine ear received a little thereof." Notice these words in verse number 12. "Now a thing was secretly brought to me." Now a thing was secretly brought to me. I want to deal some with the subject of the vision of Eliphaz and deal with this idea of extra-biblical or biblical. Sometimes people, they depend on something beside the Word of God, and they are led astray by depending on something in the place of the Word of God. Now, the Bible tells, and we go back into the book of Job, the Bible tells about the fact that Job had had these satanic attacks, and I believe at this point Job was a very miserable man. These three friends had come to comfort him, and yet it seemed as though they turned from comforting to counseling. Job, of course, he had that outburst of bitterness. He cursed the day in which he was born. And it seemed, I think that may have helped to trigger some of the things that came later, some of the things that were said to him later. And Eliphaz began to counsel Job. And there are three mistakes that a counselor may make, and I think Eliphaz made all three of these mistakes. First of all, inaccurate assumptions. Eliphaz may have entertained the suspicion that Job had done something to bring this upon him. He might have thought to himself, perhaps Job sinned, a secret sin. Nobody else knows about it. Job knows about it. God knows about it. And God is punishing Job for what he's done. In the case of David, of course, David sinned in a terrible way, committing adultery and having a murder committed. He sinned in a terrible way. Many of the people may not have known what was going on. They might have thought he was caring for the widow of Uriah when he took Bathsheba to himself. And so for a while, it may just not have been out in the open. But thank the Lord, David finally confessed his sin. Inaccurate assumptions. Eliphaz may have thought, something's going on here. I believe that Job is guilty somehow. And then when Job cursed the day that he was born, that may have helped to confirm in Eliphaz's mind that there's something wrong with this man and God is dealing with him. In fact, notice, if you will, beginning with verse number 7, the Scripture says there, "Remember, I pray thee, who ever perished being innocent? Or where were the righteous cut off? Even as I have seen, they that plow iniquity and sow wickedness reap the same." The Bible says, "But the blast of God, or by the blast of God they perish, and by the breath of His nostrils are they consumed." And I think that life is thought, Job's done something, and God is dealing with him in a very hard way. If he was an innocent man, God wouldn't be dealing with him in this way. Now, we go through the passage, even though he doesn't actually come out and say these things. I believe he felt that Job was wrong. The counselor may go off the rails if he counsels with some inaccurate assumptions, based on some inaccurate assumptions. He may feel as though that there's some particular thing in a person's life, and he may deal with that person based on his thoughts and be wrong about his thought and go way off and spend much time counseling a person in the wrong way. The opinions of men, of course, can vary. They can vacillate. A man may have an opinion of you at one point, be a very high opinion, and it might be a little while later he'll have a very low opinion of you. And as far as the opinions of men, and there's a lot of opinions that are given here in the book of Job, and the opinions of men can fluctuate so much. Now, a great example of that, in the book of Acts, the Bible tells about the Apostle Paul. He was on a ship, and there had been a shipwreck, and so he was out there gathering sticks. It was cold, it was rainy. He was gathering sticks for the fire, and there was a viper that fastened on his hand, and he shook the beast off into the fire. I repeated that for David Odell. He shook the beast off into the fire. And, of course, there was this thought among the barbarians that this man was guilty. In fact, the Bible says that they said, no doubt, this man is a murderer whom, though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live. He shook that beast off, and of course they might have been watching him thinking he's going to die any time, but he didn't swell up, and he didn't die. And so then their opinion changed. Now, what if one of those barbarians had given him counsel at that point? What if one of them thought, you're guilty, you're a murderer, and therefore you can cry out for mercy, but you're getting what you deserve, when really he was a good man, an outstanding man, a man of God. Now, they thought he was a murderer. Then on the other hand, after he didn't die, there was another opinion, and the opinion was that he was a god. Now, that's a great difference, isn't it? You're a murderer, you're a god. Now, the opinions of men can fluctuate so much, and a counselor may sometimes give some advice based on the wrong opinion. By the way, let me say this. If you want accurate counsel, give accurate information. It's true sometimes a counselor may see through something that somebody is saying and realize that there's something not right here. But in many cases, a counselor may counsel based on what he knows. And a person may oftentimes tell his story in such a way that his story is colored the way he wants it to be. And we do like coloring stories, don't we? We do like telling it our way. And so often people may tell something in such a way it makes them look good and somebody else look bad. And the counselor may take what he's got and make his opinion based on what he has. And sometimes he may be basing his counsel on inaccurate assumptions. There's the old poem, The Blind Men and the Elephant. And of course, I'm not going to go through all of that, but according to the old poem, there's those six blind men of Indistan, and one fell on the side of the elephant and talked as though the elephant's like a wall. And another one felt his ear and said, the elephant's like a fan. One felt around a knee, said, the elephant's like a tree. And one felt the tail, said, the elephant's like a rope. Now, we can have these opinions based on what we know, not knowing all that we need to know to make a proper decision. Part of that poem says this, and so these men of Indostan disputed loud and long, each in his own opinion, exceeding stiff and strong. Though each was partly in the right, all were in the wrong. And so first of all, the counselor can have inaccurate assumptions and then irrelevancy. A person can be right in what he says and still be wrong. One of the things you might notice as you go through these accounts of these different men speaking, if you isolate what they said away from the context, you might say, that is a good statement. There are some very good things said in these opinions by men that had the wrong opinion of Job, and yet they still knew some truth, and they gave forth some truth. And you can have some right opinions, you can have some right beliefs, and you can still be wrong about some things. You can be wrong as to how you use those things. Sometimes a person may give counsel, but so much of his counsel is irrelevant to the situation at hand. That's one of the things that I think we can see as we go through here. We may find that over and over they said things, but they said things that were really irrelevant. They did not comfort Job. They did not properly counsel Job, even though oftentimes they told the truth. If there was a farmer that had a dying and drying crop in the field, and the farmer was lamenting the dry conditions, there might be a man, an expert in the field, that could lecture him concerning the evaporation and the condensation and the precipitation, when actually the farmer might could use a lecture on irrigation. And sometimes a person may give a lot of opinion that's just simply irrelevant to the matter at hand. Years ago, I heard a preacher, and he had somewhat of a name among the independent Baptists. If I recall his name, some of you might recognize it. But I heard the man preaching, and he three times said, "It is irrelevant. It is irrelevant. It is irrelevant." Well, there's a fellow that I was in school with. He really kind of got upset about that fellow. He complained about that fellow saying, "It is irrelevant." Well, the preacher had heard that. He might have said, "Well, that was irrelevant to what I was trying to get across." He may have thought I had a big point, and you get stuck on these words, the mispronunciation of this particular word. Sometimes we can get off on something that is irrelevant. And we may give counsel that is irrelevant. Really doesn't help people, even if it's true. You can quote verse after verse after verse that doesn't hit home whatsoever concerning a matter. A person might be in trouble and need some scripture. You might give the wrong scripture. It really doesn't help the person. And so the counselor can make the mistake of having inaccurate assumptions and bases his counsel on that. He can make the mistake of irrelevancy and then inappropriate instructions. Of course, this goes right along with it. The counselor may give inappropriate instructions. The counselor may give counsel for the person to do wrong based on his wrong assumptions. Go, if you will. Let's see, chapter number 4, and beginning verse number 12. Let's look at this vision. Job chapter number 4, and beginning with verse number 12. "Now a thing was secretly brought to me, and mine ear received a little thereof. In thoughts from the visions of the night, when deep sleep falleth on men, fear came upon me and trembling, which made all my bones to shake. Then a spirit passed before my face. The hair of my flesh stood up. It stood still. But I could not discern the form thereof. An image was before mine eyes. There was silence, and I heard a voice saying, Shall mortal man be more just than God? Shall a man be more pure than his Maker?" And the Scripture goes on. Now here he gave this vision. He claimed it was a vision. And this was in a day in which some people may have gotten visions from the Lord, a dispensation, in which some people may have gotten some visions from the Lord. But honestly, I'm not sure that there was a lot of help for Job here. It was a story about a vision he claimed to have had. It might have been that he was trying to prove his authority. It might have been he was trying to prove his closeness to God, say, "I've got a vision from God." And honestly, for a miserable man, a bitter man, a suffering man, I really don't know that this helped him a whole lot, especially if he felt as though that there was this attitude that you're wrong and you need to get right. And so, Eliphaz gave his vision. Now, we live in a day of a completed Bible. Thank God for that. Beware of any man that tries to instruct you with visions and dreams and tries to carry you away from the Bible, that gives you the extra biblical instead of giving you the biblical. I understand in the past God has worked and given visions and so on. You read the book of Daniel, the book of Ezekiel, and just you go right on. You can read where times God used those kind of things. But we live in a day in which we have a complete Bible, and thank God for the complete Bible that we have. If you talk to people very often, you may hear them talk about their experiences. You might hear a man tell about some dream that he had. And the people can come up with some very outlandish things that they think, or at least they claim to have from God. Well, I've had dreams. Some of them I just may be plain embarrassed to tell you, but I've had dreams. Let me tell you about one dream. I had a dream that I was in this building, and the building is like I was in a mall. In that mall area, and there was this foliage area. There was kind of like a hillside there, and with some foliage and a brass rail. And in an office there, right across from that brass rail, there was the devil sitting at a desk, kind of hunched over. And the devil looked like a businessman. And you might say, well, how do you know he was a devil? It's my dream. You know how it goes. You just know things. Well, it's my dream. And that was a devil. And I stood on that top, on that brass rail, and I cried out, "For by grace are you saved. For by grace are you saved." Now, did I get anything from that dream that I didn't find in the Bible? Anything helpful, anything useful, extra biblical to help me spiritually? Not a thing. Did I learn anything about God from that dream? Not a thing. Anything about the devil? Not a thing. What's the interpretation of that dream? I don't have an interpretation. It's just a dream. But I could tell stuff like this that have happened. Other people would tell stuff like this that happened. A life is told this that happened. But just because somebody's got a dream, so what? Give me some Bible. Give me some truth. I took a prisoner to a service. Well, he's out of prison at the time, but the fellow had been in prison, took him to service. He's kind of a husky fella. In fact, I think he had a story where he threw one of these concrete things people park at. You find in a parking lot, threw that through a windshield. And he's the kind of fella that I suspect probably ended up back in prison. But anyway, I had him in a service, and I ended up elbowing him, trying to keep him awake. But in the course of conversation, he told me that he had been shot. And he's laying there, and there are these white images about him. He thought they were angels. And I said, you ever thought they might have been nurses? He talked as though I didn't think about that. You know, people can have these ideas, dreams, visions, opinions, things that don't help at all, things that don't lead people to God at all. Now, I could tell things. You might tell me some things. I heard Chris's dream a while back. And people may tell things, nothing spiritual whatsoever. I mean, at least in that dream, I did quote a part of Ephesians 2:8. For by grace are you saved. Now, as far as a life is a vision, I really don't think it helped Job. And I think so much of what he said really did not help Job. The Bible says in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 5 and verse number 3, "For a dream cometh through the multitude of business." Now, by the way, I think my dog dreams. And I don't think he's getting anything from God. I think sometimes my dog just dreams. He might be dreaming about chasing a squirrel or something. But people have dreams. It doesn't mean they're getting anything from God. But thank the Lord, I have a complete Bible. I thank God I'm not dependent on listening to what people say. Well, I dreamed this. I had this vision. All that. Thank God I have a completed Bible. I do believe if I lived in a day, for instance, in the day of Ezekiel and so on, I believe God could give me discernment about, is this the truth or is this not the truth? It's not that men in that day were without any discernment, could not have discernment from God, but it is such a blessing to have the printed Word of God in my language. I think sometimes we do not treasure this book like we ought to treasure this book. And we don't study this book like we ought to. We don't read this book like we ought to. Sometimes people may value so many other things more than this precious old book that we have, the Word of God. To think, they wake up in the morning, spend a little time, open a Bible, read God's Word to me. What a precious thing it is. In some circles, people might rather hear a dream than to hear the simple, the powerful Word of God. The Word of God that we have, that we use, of course, is the Word that was given through different men, Old Testament, New Testament. Then there came a time in which there was some confusion about the Word of God. John the Apostle gave the book of the Revelation probably about 98 A.D. And so about 67 years or so after the death of Jesus Christ. So the church had been going on for about 67 years. And of course, you might think about in that day, there's so many, 14 books of the New Testament given by Paul, through Paul. And there's 1st and 2nd Peter, and there's 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and Revelation. And so you might imagine that many of those people were people that folks knew in that day, great men of God, greatly used of God. Then there came a time in which there was some confusion. And in fact, I believe it was because there was the attempt to add some things to the Word of God. Let me give you this concerning the apocryphal books. The apocryphal books excluded from the New Testament. Quote, "These are legendary and spurious gospels, Acts of the Apostles, and epistles which began to appear in the second century. They were mostly forgeries and were so recognized from the first." I think that is those interesting words. They were recognized as forgeries from the first. "They are so full of nonsensical stories of Christ and the apostles that they have never been regarded as divine nor bound in our Bible. Deliberate attempts to fill the gaps of the New Testament story of Jesus in order to further heretical ideas by false claims. It is said that Muhammad got his ideas of Christianity largely from these books. They are the origin of some of the dogmas of the Roman Catholic Church." Then concerning the Old Testament, Mr. Merrill Unger gave these reasons for the apocryphal books not being included in the Old Testament. Number one, they abound in historical and geographical inaccuracies and anachronisms. That word anachronism has got to do with time. For instance, saying things are out of order or happening at a different time than what they did. Number two, they teach doctrines which are false and foster practices which are at variance with inspired scriptures. Number three, they resort to literary types and display an artificiality of subject matter and styling out of keeping with the inspired scripture. Number four, they lack distinctive elements which give genuine scripture their divine character. Now, if you want accurate assessments, go to this book. I'm dealing with counselors. A counselor may make an inaccurate assessment or have inaccurate assumptions. If you want to make some accurate assessments, you follow the guidelines of this book. If you want to say things that are truly relevant, then you go to this book, and as the Holy Spirit leads you, you give things out of this book. If you also want to give the appropriate instructions, then you follow the leadership of this book. Thank God we have a completed Bible. I do think so often. We don't treasure it like we should. The world, of course, has become flooded with false teachings. False teachings can come in a variety of forms. I'm not real big on dream songs. And some people may sing about, I dream this and I dream that. You might say a dream is like a subconscious or an unconscious novel. And at the best, it might be a historical novel. But still, something that's made up. And I'm not saying that we consciously put all this together, but in our unconscious mind, things may be made up. We may have this story that goes on in our mind as we're trying to sleep. We can have these ideas. And people may say, I dreamed about going to heaven, and this is what I saw, and that is what I saw, and so on. There's so much in the book. We can read the book and find out about heaven and find out about God. Beware of somebody that just, they're making things up, just making things up in the place of the Word of God. You take the book of Job. Where else can you find a record and a true record of the words of the devil and the words of five different men, Job, and then there were the three friends, and there was the other one, and the words of God concerning one suffering man, one situation? Show me another book that's got that in it. One you can read about and trust what it says. Well, I believe if God said, one of the three friends said, whatever, that's what he said. He said just what God said that he said. Where else are you going to find a book that tells you about heaven? It gives you an accurate description. Where are you going to find a book that tells you an accurate description of the kingdom to come? So much scripture about that. Where are you going to find another book that will give you an accurate description of the tribulation period, which may break loose at just most any time? Jesus Christ may come back and the tribulation period break loose on this earth. Where are you going to find another book that gives you an accurate description? People may talk about this happening, that happening, we're going to earthquakes, all this stuff that they think might happen, when it might happen, how it might happen. But I got a book. What is it, Revelation 6 through 18? That is largely just about a tribulation period upon earth. 7 years of tribulation on the earth. Show me another book like that. Show me another book that pulls back the curtain to hell and shows a man that was a rich man that in hell he lifts up his eyes and being in torments, he's in hell in the flame. Show me another book that tells you that. One you can trust. I'm not talking about a novel that somebody made up. I'm talking about one you can trust. Show me another book that you can take text from about hell and heaven and the wonderful things of God, eternity, and preach them with power and confidence. Show me another book like that. Thank God I'm not dependent upon the dreams of men. But I have the completed Word of God. Before I close, let me say this. We need counsel. We certainly need counsel. We need counsel from the great counselor, from God. And we need to be able to give proper counsel as well. We need to have our counsel from God to give to others. As far as what is at risk, for the unsaved person, here's what is at risk. In Mark chapter number 8, verse 36, for what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? That is at risk. For a lost man, his soul is at risk. And you can't go just anywhere and find out where your soul is headed, but this is a book that can tell you. You can't find the destiny of the souls of men just anywhere, but you can find it in this book. You can't find how a person may, as it might be said, be saved, his soul be saved, but you can find it in this book. You can lose your own soul. And I think I might have mentioned this earlier. I did it on a radio broadcast. But the sinner can lose his own soul. You are responsible for your soul. What shall it gain a man what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? You are responsible for your soul. Not your preacher, not your wife, not your mother. You are responsible for your soul. Then secondly, you can lose your soul forever. All a man has to do in this life, just reject or neglect to trust Christ as his Lord and Savior, and he'll lose his soul forever. And then thirdly, you cannot save your own soul. It might seem a little strange that a man is responsible for his own soul, but he cannot save his own soul. Therefore, what he needs to do is put his soul in safekeeping. Turn his soul over to Christ. Trust Christ totally and fully for the salvation of the soul. But many a sinner has lost his soul forever. And then for those of us that are saved, what is at stake? Well, the Bible tells me about the judgment seat of Christ, and we shall all stand at the judgment seat of Christ. But the Bible tells me about the fact that our works shall be tried so as by fire. And if our works are not right, we shall suffer loss. Loss. Now, the Scripture says in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, verses 14 and 15, if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But then notice these last words, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. His soul will be saved. His soul will be saved. But you can lose your works, you can lose reward. There's a lot at stake here. For the lost man, there's a lot at stake. For the saved man even, there's a lot at stake. And so we need the counsel of God. Well, thank God we got a book we can go to. And we can find the truth in the Word of God. The vision of Eliphaz. Interesting. You can read something like that and find it interesting. Yet I really don't know how much help it was to Job. Visions, dreams, opinions. Oh, the world's full of them. But I got a book that's good for the soul. I got a book that tells how the soul can be saved. I got a book that can tell a believer how to conduct himself. I have a book that can give good counsel. Thank the Lord for the completed Word of God. If you will, please stand.